Good afternoon, 4:30 and 67 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
This whole region is an aerospace area, and that adds concrete support to the fact that this area can support aerospace business.
Rowan County Development Director Bob Helton thinks the new billion-dollar aluminum plant in Greenup County will mean additional jobs in the Moorhead area, too.
The governor's budget director says the state is likely to finish the current fiscal year with a budget shortfall.
And Ashland is said to be getting a new Marriott hotel downtown.
In sports, the Reds and the Pirates square off in Game 3 of their series in Cincinnati tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy with a low of 53 tonight. The complete forecast after this news.
Federal mine safety officials are warning some mine operators about several on-the-job deaths this year of miners who were working alone. The story from Suzanne Duvall.
The U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration says five miners have died while working alone since the year began. Two workers, one in an Iowa limestone mine and another in a Kentucky coal mine, died in work accidents within 24 hours of each other in January. The federal agency says it's focusing on communicating best practices with operators and miners during routine inspections. MSHA says mines should have procedures in place to account for the whereabouts of every miner. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
WKYT is reporting the murder case of a 20-month-old child in Menifee County is headed to a grand jury. Police say Aria Blanton died from injuries sustained through abuse. The child's mother, Laura Blanton, and Blanton's boyfriend, Robert Collins, are charged with murder. Menifee County Sheriff's Deputy Robert Workman testified yesterday. He said a medical examination revealed the toddler had extensive bruising, as well as a lacerated spleen, fractured skull, and internal bleeding.
She had not only physical abuse, but they were able to determine that she had been sexually abused as well.
Workman says neither Blanton nor Collins made the call for help that resulted in the child being airlifted to the University of Kentucky Medical Center. Blanton's charge was changed to complicity to murder after... Blanton's charge was changed from complicity to murder after her attorney said none of the testimony given in court indicated she was involved in the actual abuse. Collins' murder charge remains.
A federal appeals court has ruled that a gay couple's lawsuit against Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis can proceed. The court ruled Tuesday that the action by David Ermold and David Moore can move forward against the official who refused to issue them a marriage license in 2015. They're seeking damages from Davis after she declined to provide them a certificate because she said it would violate her religious beliefs. A district judge had dismissed the suit, but the appeals court ruling means it can be heard.
Kentucky's budget director says the state is headed toward a $113 million shortfall when the fiscal year ends June 30th. Media outlets report budget director John Chilton made the projection in a quarterly economic and revenue report this week. The report noted a weak 1.2% growth in jobs contributed to declines in income and sales tax collections. A spokeswoman for Republican Governor Matt Bevin told the Lexington Herald Leader the governor is planning for the possibility of potential cost-saving measures. Bevin could cut state spending or use money from the state's reserve fund to cover the shortfall. The last time Kentucky finished the fiscal year with a deficit was 2014, when it had a $91 million shortfall.
WSAZ is reporting that the Ashland Plaza Hotel will soon become a Marriott. According to the Huntington Station, a New York investment group will buy the Winchester Avenue building and renovate the structure this summer to include 152 rooms and a restaurant. Chris Pullum is Ashland's Economic Development Director. He tells WSAZ the revamped hotel should help Ashland's other downtown businesses.
They have invested their life savings and their time to build something special in the sense of place that we have in downtown Ashland. And all that hard work and investment will pay off when we now have a 152-room chained and branded hotel.
Pullum says the current hotel employs about six people. The new Marriott will provide about 100 jobs.
The head of the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council is excited about what the new aluminum plant that will be constructed in Greenup County could mean for his area. The factory, which will have over 500 workers, is slated to open in 2 years. It will produce parts for the automotive and aerospace industries. According to Bob Helton, its economic development impact will be felt all around the region.
A facility of the size going in Greenup County up there is going to generate spin-off businesses, be it supplier plants or even distribution facilities for supplies coming in or their finished product. So there's lots of conversation to be had as that project develops on potential spin-off businesses that we'd certainly like to be in running for.
Helton says Morehead State University Space Science Center and the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which will open with the new Rowan County campus of Maysville Community and Technical College in January, will give Rowan County a leg up as it tries to entice those suppliers to locate here.
According to the official overseeing the work, progress is being made on the newest dining hall being built on the Morehead State University campus. Rick Lineal is the school's assistant vice president of facilities management. He says workers are currently installing some of the building's infrastructure, while the framing for its interior walls is also being put into place.
You could start seeing how the kitchen's going to be and how all the different platforms for cooking are going to be located, the elevator, stairs. I mean, it's really coming about. We're progressing very well. Equipment's ordered, which is a big thing. So everything's moving according to plan right now.
Lineal says MSU's new upscale dining hall is expected to open in October of next year. The facility is attached to the parking garage the university opened last year.
The omnibus bill that funds the federal government through September was negotiated with a lack of transparency and does nothing to balance the budget. That's according to Southern Kentucky Congressman James Comer. Even so, the Monroe County Republican said today he'll vote for the $1.1 trillion package. He says there are a number of projects important to his district that are funded by the bill.
$270 million for the Paducah Gaseous Diffusion Plant deactivation process, which will keep 1,200 West Kentuckians working in good-paying jobs and continue to prevent illness and environmental issues in McCracken and Ballard counties. Fort Campbell. The bill provides a pay increase for our troops and fully funds health and benefits for them and their families while providing the funding to begin rebuilding our military.
Comer spoke on the House floor this morning. The House is expected to approve the measure today.
Kentucky's senior senator is also backing the temporary spending plan to keep the government operating for another 5 months. Republican Mitch McConnell says the bill funds key programs to benefit retired and laid-off coal miners.
The bill's support for troubled coal mining communities and dislocated miners is important for states like mine, as is the provision I was proud to secure that will permanently protect health care benefits for thousands of retired coal miners and their families. This bill also extends resources for a pilot program I worked out with Congressman Hal Rogers to secure, which will fund the reclamation and development of abandoned mine sites.
McConnell says there's also $100 million to combat opioid addiction.
A new operating budget approved by the Ohio House of Representatives Tuesday includes $170 million to fight opioid abuse. House Budget Committee Chairman Ryan Smith says it's a response to a crisis which shows the Buckeye State is leading the nation in drug overdose deaths. He says the two-year, $64 billion spending plan also puts conditions on eligibility for Ohio's expanded Medicaid program.
You need to be working, enrolled in workforce training program, 55 or older, medically fragile, or in a recovery program to be eligible to be sponsored under Medicaid in this Group A population.
Smith spoke on the House floor Tuesday. His district includes Lawrence County.
LifePoint Hospital says Meadowview Regional Medical Center and Fleming County Hospital will get a new top executive. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Joe Koch will be the new market president of MRMC and Fleming County Hospital and chief executive officer of MRMC as of May 22nd. Koch will replace current interim CEO Ron Tyer, who took over after Robert Parker transferred earlier this month. Scott Rapley, president of LifePoint Central Group, which operates MRMC and FCH, says Koch is an exemplary leader with significant experience in navigating the Kentucky healthcare landscape. Koch has served as CEO of Bourbon Community Hospital, Vice President and CEO of Raleigh General Hospital, Executive Director and COO of Emory Northlake Regional Medical Center, and more. He says he looks forward to helping these hospitals continue the good work they are doing and explore additional ways to make their communities better. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Kentucky's homeless population has been hovering around 4,000 for the past few years, and it's not confined to Fayette and Jefferson counties. Adrian Bush discussed the issue on Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics. She's the director of the Homeless and Housing Coalition of Kentucky. Bush says about half the homeless are in Lexington and Louisville, but the rest are spread across the state and a little harder to spot.
If you go to Washington, D.C., you see people experiencing homelessness on the Capitol steps. It's not quite like that here, but we do have a significant problem in all regions of our Commonwealth.
Bush indicates she's still compiling figures from this year's homeless count. The most recent numbers from the Department of Housing and Urban Development's point-in-time count are from 2016.
And finally, this afternoon, someone has been passing bogus $50 and $100 bills around the city of Morehead. City Police Detective Ben Castle says they've generally been seen in recent days at the town's Walmart and Taco Bell restaurants. At this point, his department has yet to identify any suspects of the case.
We don't have any idea right now. We are trying to get some video at this point of who's trying to pass it. But as far as the bills, they're not technically counterfeit because no one's printed them as legal tender, because on the front and the back, it's got all the way across it, you know, that it's for motion picture use only.
According to Castle, the funny money can easily be purchased on eBay. Since the bills are not considered as counterfeit, he adds those trying to pass them off to shopkeepers will likely face misdemeanor charges, such as theft by deception.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain, lows around 53 degrees. Tomorrow a 50% chance of rain in the morning with thunderstorms possible, then becoming cloudy in the afternoon, highs around 71. Tomorrow night the chance of rain goes up to 100% with thunderstorms possible, lows around 51 degrees. And Friday, cloudy with showers, chance of rain at 60% and highs around 56. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's 67 in Ashland, 64 in Flemingsburg, 70 degrees in Inez, 65 in Lexington, 64 in Winchester, and it is currently 67 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have our regular Wednesday feature, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. Adrian talks with Marietta Simonova Pizarro. She is the director of Morehead State University's English as a Second Language program. Pizarro came to the U.S. from Bulgaria in the 1990s and reflects on the lifelong influence of her grandmother and love of learning.
I was born in Bulgaria in 1974. Bulgaria was part of the communist bloc until 1989. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. For the first 5 years of my life, I lived with my grandmother. My grandparents were very involved in the lives of their grandchildren because in communist times, the parents were in the workforce. Yeah, men and women. So there were no women at home at any time for those 45 years, to my knowledge. My grandmother was a very independent person, and she taught me at an early age to rely on myself, and we had a very beautiful relationship. She taught me to value nature and to go in nature when I don't feel well, and that nature is something that we take for granted, but actually is something much larger than us. In those days, all families used to have a sponsored vacation, at least 2 weeks, to the Black Sea or to the mountains. Communism was an attempt to have a utopia in the real world. We found out later on that was not the case. So there were many things that looked then normal. Later on, I found out was not the norm. My father is a civil engineer, and my mom is an architectural designer. At the end of middle school, I went to Libya, where my father had a government contract for 2 years in Benghazi, Libya. There was a completely different culture and religion and social understanding about life put me in contact with things that I would have never been in contact with if I had not left Bulgaria. And then I completed my high school back home. I did my master's degree in English philology, love for knowledge. My master's degree was in British cultural imperialism, as translated in literature. We were being prepared to become English teachers, which was a shock to me. I wanted to be an interpreter or a traveler. But after I graduated, I taught 1 year in a high school and then 3 years preparing professionals in the hotel and catering industry. Then there was a brief period when I worked as a liaison and an interpreter for the American Army, the recreation program for the soldiers from Yugoslavia. I was not a military person, so it was not the best match for me. And after that, I was invited to the United States in Cincinnati, Ohio, and this is how I started to explore America and what America really is. I worked as an executive secretary. However, I am a perpetual lifelong learner, and I was looking for opportunities to continue my education at the doctoral level. When I worked in a gallery in Cincinnati, I met the best-selling artist in the gallery. It turned out he was from Paris, France, and the common origin of being from Europe eventually led to a marriage, and now we have two wonderful sons, 5 and 10, so I'm grateful for that summer detour between my jobs and my doctorate. And I studied literacy and teaching English as a second language for 5 years at the University of Cincinnati. After I completed my PhD, I started work teaching English as a second language endorsement program online to any teacher anywhere in the world. And then after that, I worked for the University of Chicago assessment in ESL. Morehead was attractive in terms of the job administration and teaching. I came here as an ESL director, and I was excited to start a new program, which now is fully open to the world, and we can issue immigration documents for people to come and study full-time ESL in Morehead State University, and it's open to anyone. I think the most important thing in life is to work with good people and to be clear about what you want. And sometimes we as professionals and as individuals don't know where we are in our lives. It's very important to understand which direction you want to take in terms of being happy and satisfied. That is not as easy as it sounds, because we change and our needs change, the environment changes. We need to really work together for the common good. That's my last word, and I'm sticking to it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That was Marietta Simonova-Pizarro, director of Morehead State University's English as a Second Language program. Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community is a regular Wednesday feature on Mountain Edition. 4:48, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds meet the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at 7:10 for Game 3 of their four-game series at Great American Ballpark. The Reds, meanwhile, remain hopeful that starting pitcher Anthony DeSclafani will return soon. He's been out since mid-March because of a sprained elbow ligament. The 27-year-old has missed time the past two seasons because of physical issues, and he's hoping he doesn't get the reputation of being injury-prone.
You know, I don't want that label on me for sure. That's not what I'm going after. I want to be a guy that's reliable, you know, that comes in, makes, you know, 30-plus starts. You know, that's what I want to pride myself on. And, you know, I haven't been able to do that. So it's definitely, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a letdown, but, you know, that's just not what I'm going for. That's not what I'll be known as.
Two young pitchers take the mound tonight in Cincinnati as 0-1 rookie Davis goes for the Reds, with Jameson Taillon taking the mound for the Pirates. The Morehead State baseball team will head to Jacksonville State this weekend for a three-game OVC series, riding a two-game winning streak. After beating Eastern Illinois Sunday, the Eagles improved to 29-16 last night following a 15-14 victory at home against Ohio. Coach Mike McGuire's ball club scored three runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to pull out the victory.
Well, I think it was good. You know, we won the last Sunday game, you know, against Eastern Illinois, and then just kind of keep that winning feeling in our clubhouse. I think that was important.
Ryan Kent had three hits and five RBIs last night for MSU. Nico Hosizer connected for his 21st home run of the season. Even though spring practices for this year are finished, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier and his assistants are still hard at work. Tenier says they're reviewing the impact of some of the changes they tried to make to the Eagles' offensive and defensive schemes.
What adjustments we put in, what new schemes we put in, and what we're going to go to work with when we start preseason camp. Because obviously, you know, spring is when you put some new things in, you test just some ideas, and then as you enter preseason camp, you got to evaluate those things. And I think from that point on, you start to progress and you add to what you installed in the spring.
The MSU football team opens preseason camp in August. The Eagles' first game is August the 31st at home against Kentucky Christian University. After making a controversial pick in the recent NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals are being asked to speak out against domestic violence. MSPR's Holly McClurkin reports.
The Bengals drafted University of Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon in the second round. Mixon was suspended from the team for a year after he punched a woman in the face. The group, Women Helping Women, says the team needs to take a strong stand against domestic violence and sexual assault. Women Helping Women works to prevent gender-based violence. Officials from the Bengals met with the group on Monday. They offered no comment other than to say they are looking forward to further discussions. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Holly McClurkin.
Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin is high on the Eagles' latest signee. 6'7", James Baker of Meade County High School will join the team in the fall after signing with MSU this week. Despite missing 19 games because of a thumb injury, Baker returned late this past season to lead the Green Wave to a third region title. According to Spradlin, he's a guy who can play just about anywhere on the floor.
He's very versatile. He's got a beautiful jump shot. He puts the ball on the floor. He played point guard for his high school team. And so he's a guy that is going to be a big-time mismatch problem.
Baker last season averaged 13 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks per game. Dominic Lombardi has been named Director of Basketball Operations for the Morehead State men's basketball team. Lombardi comes to MSU after spending last season as Director of Player Development at Duquesne. Lombardi worked with new MSU head coach Preston Spradlin at the University of Kentucky as assistant video coordinator. He also served as video coordinator at South Florida under former head coach Orlando Antigua during the 2015 and 2016 seasons. Lombardi replaces Jonathan Maddox as Director of Basketball Ops after Maddox was promoted to assistant coach last month. The Morehead State women's basketball program has added two new signees. Erin Blaine will join the Eagles for next season from Howard University, where she averaged 11 points and 6 rebounds per game. MSU also added junior college transfer Tierra McGowan, the NJCAA Division III Player of the Year. McGowan averaged 21 points and 14 rebounds per game last season while leading Rock Valley to a national championship. Head coach Greg Todd is excited about what she can add to his team.
We think Tierra has a lot of upside. She's a very tall young lady that moves maybe not as fast as Shea Steele, but for a post moves well. I think she'll be able to help Brooke Todd as far as getting a lot of block shots, similar to what Shea did for our team.
Todd says MSU may add one more recruit for next season. According to the Ledger Independent, Fleming County has fired head boys basketball coach Matt Taylor. Taylor was let go after going 8-24 in his first season with the Panthers. Fleming County will now be looking for its fifth head coach in the last seven seasons. And finally, in sports, the post positions are now set for Saturday's Kentucky Derby, with Classic Empire being the favorite to win the race. Will Clark has more.
Two-year-old champ Classic Empire with Julian LaPerue, 4-1 favorite.
The horse's trainer, Mark Cassie, thinks the pace will be good.
I think it'll be decent, but reasonable. You know, we don't have any old sprinters in there that, you know, now with the point system the way it is, it's more about what you've done lately. And
Always Dreaming and McCracken are the co-second choices at 5-1 odds. Always Dreaming will start in the fifth gate. McCracken will come out of the 15th starting position. I'm Will Clark.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's track and field teams will compete in the Kentucky Relays this Saturday, and Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for three games, May 12th through 14th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks were very much on the flat line today. The broader market was weaker, actually, than the Dow Jones, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average actually finishing with a small gain of 8.01 at 20,957.9. The S&P 500 was down 3.04 at 2388.13. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 22.82, backing off of an all-time closing high yesterday, with the NASDAQ finishing at 6,072.55. In New York Stock Exchange, breadth was 17-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The Spider S&P Bank Exchange Traded Fund was up 0.75%, outperforming the broader stock market, and interest rates in general were up today, mainly in anticipation of the Fed raising rates next month, and this, of course, helped the bank stocks, which are considered a beneficiary of higher interest rates. The Fed did conclude its two-day policy meeting today, giving a positive assessment of the U.S. economy while keeping rates unchanged, as was widely expected. However, market expectations for a rate hike next month when the Fed meets jumped to 75%, according to Wells Fargo. Treasury yields did rise today, with the short-term two-year note yield finishing near 1.3% and the benchmark 10-year yield around 2.31%. In economic reports today, the U.S. private sector created 177,000 jobs last month, according to ADP and Moody's Analytics, and this was slightly above expectations. The final market services PMI reading for April hit 53.1, while the ISM non-manufacturing reading reached 57.5, and of course a report of 50 or better represents an expanding economy. Wall Street also focused on earnings, particularly those of tech giant Apple. The company reported a mixed quarter overall, with adjusted earnings per share topping analyst expectations, while revenue fell short. Apple did say that iPhone shipments totaled 50.8 million in the previous quarter, below the expected number of 52 million, and Apple stock declined about 0.3%, and this did help knock the NASDAQ off of its all-time high. The earnings season overall has been strong thus far, with more than 75% of companies beating profit estimates and about 70% topping revenue forecasts. In the commodities markets, oil is up 7 cents at $47.73 a barrel, while gold was down 1.3%, finishing at $1,240.60 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Merck and Chevron, while your worst performers were Disney and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Delphi Automotive and Citrix Systems, and the worst performers were Akamai Technologies and Anadarko Petroleum. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 65 cents at 121.56, CSX up 3 cents at 51.52, AEP down 10 cents at 67.91, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at 51.24, AK Steel down 30 cents at 5.93, and Kroger was up 55 cents to finish at 29.37. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, overcast later on. Slight chance of a rain shower with lows around 53. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of showers in the morning, then it tapers off in the afternoon, highs around 71. The chance of rain returns with a 100% chance of showers and thunderstorms possible throughout the night, lows around 51 degrees. Friday, cloudy with showers, chance of rain at 60%, with highs around 56 degrees.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.